It's the Metal Show with Gully and Joe, and this week we're back to just being us two. We've got no shared presences today. We're going to review Balls to the Wall. It was the fifth studio album by Accept, and it came out in January 1984 in America. And actually, it came out first in 1983. Anyway, that doesn't matter. We decided to do a bit of a curveball because I picked up some of the music on the cheap, really, really cheap. This is practically new for both of us. Let's talk about the cover for a minute. It looked great back in 1983, but now it's camp as fuck. It really is campy.
There is so many gay connotations.
Yes.
In this album. But the funniest thing about it is that it's actually unintentional, which makes it all the funnier. They're not the most self-aware band, but I think there's a lot of unintentional gay references in this, and it's kind of like the people that didn't know Rob Halford was. And I think Accept were one of them.
I think they worked it out after that, like. But yeah, it's got one of their biggest songs that, like, pretty much everyone should know on it as well. But, like, when did I first hear this? When I got the CD a couple of months ago. So you probably first heard this when I said, let's review this to curveball it.
I first heard the album, actually, while I was given this, when you suggested to review it. But I know a lot of the songs, and the first time I heard Balls to the Wall, bloody hell, I hear it all the time.
It's a mainstay, isn't it? Always getting played somewhere. That's the thing with it.
Yeah, I can't remember the exact. I never really got into Accept, to be honest. I've always liked them, but I've never got into them. I only really properly started listening to them recently with the new albums with the new guy.
Is this Udo? And this is Udo, isn't it?
This is Udo, yeah. And then, bear with me one moment. What's the current guy's name? Oh, I'll look it up in a sec.
But Barry.
Yeah, I only got into the... What's that?
His name's Barry.
Barry. Yeah. Is he?
No, I just made it up. Oh. I just hope it is because it would fit.
No, it's Mark. Mark Tornillo from TT Quick.
Barry was close.
He, close, yeah. I got the newer albums with Mark, and I only listened to them because I got given them to review. So I kind of did a crash course when I was doing Blood of the Nations, I think it was, or Stalingrad. Can't quite remember. I did a bit of a crash. Again, I knew who they were, and I knew the odd song, but I did a quick sort of crash course in them. So I knew what I was talking about when I reviewed Blood of the Nations. Bloody hell, that album's 9 years. That couldn't have been Blood of the Nations. Mine must have been Stalingrad or Blind Rage. Because I've only been doing reviews about 5 years. Yeah, Blind Rage must have been... No, I'm pretty sure. Oh, who cares? But, yeah. So they were the first proper albums I listened to, and I got a bit more acquainted with their back catalogue with the recent live albums they've put out, because the live albums, they're awesome, but they do marathon sets.
I believe so, yeah. You go see them in a fucking, like, a smaller club and you just stood there for fucking hours.
Yeah, the last album they put out was, pretty much a 30-song set.
Shit.
And then Udo just recently did a tour where he did Goodbye to Accept because he was doing Accept songs because he's under the name Udo now. He's got his own band.
Udo.
Yeah, but it's Udo. I don't know. I think it's called Udo. I don't really know. But
do you not find that anal when like a singer of a band decides to call it his name? Or is that just to try and get more people to go and see him and stuff? I'm not really that much of a fan of it, to be honest.
Mixed feelings about it, to be honest.
You've got to do what you've got to do, I suppose.
I wouldn't do it. I don't know. Look at Ozzy Osbourne. I think it's easier to... Alice Cooper as well, for example. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Mm. It depends what you want to do. But I suppose it's more of a case of if you're known for a particular band and you go out and form another band and then form another band and then form another band, it kind of gets a bit messy. Mm. So it's if you're going out on one your name, and let's face it, sometimes people are there to see the one person, and it's easier just to keep all the catalogue under one name. So then if a guitarist leaves or someone else leaves, you've still got that name to build on.
Well, it fills places. I suppose it's a monetary thing rather than a expression kind of thing.
Yeah, but Udo just used to do Accept songs in his set, but then he did this tour a few years back called Goodbye to Accept, because Accept, he said, Accept are going now. They're like 3-4 albums deep with a new singer, so I don't really see the need to be doing these songs anymore. I'd much rather be doing my own solo stuff, and if you want to hear Accept, you can go see him. So he just did one more tour. So it's like, this is me doing Accept songs for the last time. So that was called Farewell to Accept or Goodbye to Accept. And that was like a 25-song set as well. So, so I had the Accept live album and the Udo live album. So I got really acquainted with the classic material as such. Mm. But this was the first time I actually sat down and listened to this album properly. So it's been a fun week.
So let's jump on to the first song, Balls to the Wall, album title. He sounds like Lemmy when it kicks off. Is that just me? He just sounds a little Lemmy-ish.
I played this in the car with my boy, actually, and he actually thought it was AC/DC when it first came on.
Mm. He's got one of their voices, and you can't pinpoint it.
Yeah, and he also said that, straight out of the gate, Accept to me, in a nutshell, is the perfect mixture of Judas Priest and AC/DC.
Mm.
That they right down the middle, it's they mix the two perfectly. And if you're in the, if you can't decide who you want to listen to out of those two bands, then Accept is the answer. They've got the sort of raw catchiness of Accept. Udo sounds a lot like Brian Johnson to me.
It mixes. And it mixes between him and Judas
Priest. There's a lot of Judas Priest in the music. Mm.
Agreed.
I'm just going to light this one sec. Fuck it. Yeah, carry on.
No, he's just lighting a Cuban cigar for those who are listening, thinking, what the fuck has he just done? But like, it's proper cheesy. It's proper stomping down the road stuff. Put it in your headphones and it's like, oi, 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 oi. And like, the lyrics are cheesy as fuck, but like, I'm getting a cheesy grin off it. And like, I don't want my balls to the wall, on a side note, to be fair. I like them where they are. And yeah, it's a top opener and it works for what it is. It's like, it's kind of Motley Crue in a way. There's a bit of Motley going on, but it is the 80s. Like, but yeah, I can't fucking knock this song down one iota. Top solo, top song, great opener.
I just put the match in the ashtray thinking it was out and it was still on fire and it was burnt the end of my finger.
Well, classy. You need to get yourself one of them like jet lighters that like do the shit.
I've got the blowtorch one, but these were the last three matches in this box, so I just thought I'll use them up just so they're done.
Now you burnt your finger, so bad news.
Yeah, so that worked.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, anyway, Balls to the Wall, it's a great song, isn't it? I mean, if you don't like this song,
what the fuck's up with
you? You really need to stop. Yeah, you need to stop taking yourself so seriously. It's a fun song. It's got the, again, it's just got that AC/DC catchy stomping riff. It's got a cool little laid back verse that builds up and then to that anthemic chorus. I mean, if you're not banging your head and singing along to that, I don't care if you're sober as a judge at a gig. When you're balls to the wall, you know, it's the ultimate song. It's normally that song that comes on while the, you know, roadies are doing their last minute checks, their last little tap on the drum.
Oh, yeah.
And then doing the signal to each other just before the lights go out. This song's normally on. And it's just a great tone setter. You know, it just puts you in the mood. It's brilliant.
A little bit of perspective with this one is we both listened to the remaster one, the last remaster. So it sounded pretty good, to be fair, for a really old album in 83. So, yeah, I'm quite pleased with the mix. They've kind of done it justice, which sometimes it can fuck up. But, yeah, it actually sounds nice and clean, nice and open. And there's no moaning about the sound quality of this one, apart from the last few times we've gone through it. With older albums, it's been dire. But this sounds pretty fucking good.
It's got a great video as well. I'm watching it now. I like the army gear. Like everyone else is in the leather and that, but it'll come out in the camo.
Well, he doesn't want to get killed. He's got his balls to the wall. Next track, London Leather Boys. Oh my god, this is proper. It was Pride Month or Pride something or other in London the other week. No. And this probably should have played.
And if this song wasn't played, yeah, it just goes to show you.
Yeah. Because it's proper cheesy.
Someone somewhere should have played the London Leather. Apparently it's about bikers because English wasn't the band's first language.
Yeah, they're all German.
And I think the story is the guitarist wrote the lyrics with his girlfriend.
Which helps.
Yeah, because she spoke better English than the rest of them, apparently. But, I think Rammstein took a note and went, yeah, let's just speak German. Fuck it.
Yeah, because it sometimes doesn't
because
work
out.
Because
the London Leather Boys apparently are just about bikers. They're like London Hell's Angels. But they come out London Leather Boys.
It come out a bit wonky, but I'm going to forgive it because it's cheese. It's so bad, but it's good, and I really like it. And it's a UK crew sound. This is like a Motley Crue UK sound going on, man. I love it for that. And it's Judas Priest before Judas Priest lead singer decided to come out. That's what it is.
Yeah, and he missed a beat there. But I like the little bit at the end as well, where it builds up, and you've got that, whoa. I just think it's really cool. It's good live as well. This is sort of like the mainstay in their live show. It's the one they always finish with.
But like the solos are cool and screamy and fit nicely. It does have two meanings though, and we'll constantly talk about it. But it's top notch, man. I'm enjoying this album so far, man. What a top little track.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Yeah, good stuff.
Fight.
It's just a
go on.
It's just something. There's just a charm with this band. Do you know what I mean?
I picked it up as well. It's like, okay, I can see what's going on, but like I'm really enjoying it. And I've gone through a phase of listening to old school rock at the moment, because you can find that when you talk to the Google and whatever. And this works for me. So
Wolf Hoffman as well. It's quite well. Renowned guitarist. Like his name, when you read guitarist interviews, his name comes up constantly, especially amongst French metal guitarists, funny enough.
There is thrashy elements though to his playing. Mm. It has to be said, like.
Yeah, certainly proto thrash in some of this early material.
Yeah, so Fight It Back, and this is a perfect example of what we were just talking about. The pace steps up and it's thrashy and the remaster sounds good. And I'm all in with it. He does have a great little fucking scream going on as well.
Yes, I was going to mention that. Yeah.
He can fucking scream like nobody's business. He's got Rob Halford fucking strings to his bow. Like, it's fucking really good. And there's lots of hooks in it. And if you've got a hate, you got to fight it back. It's like, I'm really enjoying it. And it's great vocals. It's nailing it. And I love the solos. And this is weird because I was proper into this type of music when I first started getting into metal. And I don't know why I overlooked it, but maybe because they were German. But like, I'm so glad I picked up the CD for a quid. It's catchy hooks and I'm all in, man. What a fucking great couple of songs to get involved.
It's a great little melody as
well.
Oh,
yeah.
Which is, the riffs are hooky. But yeah, that scream. You mentioned Halford, but Halford would kind of hit a note and hold it. And this is an actual scream. You can hear the rough, his voice.
Yeah,
you know?
The grouchiness.
And he is, and you can just tell, there's a screech there as well. And as it goes on, you can just tell they've just gone, right, just do it and hold it. And there would be no replicating that. Like
one take.
I bet he wouldn't do that again. Or if he could do it live, it would never sound exactly how it sounds on this record. That was a lightning in a bottle, that scream. And it is fucking piercing.
And that's what I like about them. And it seems raw, it seems angry, but it's camp as fuck. Head over heels, cheeky bass riffs are prominent. They're not, it's not like Flea, it's not like overly intense, it's not like a Megadeth bass line. It's never going to be that, but it does what it needs to. And I'm getting the, I'm spot on with your analogy. It's an AC/DC vibe. They know what they're good at and they do it, which is exactly what AC/DC do. And it's a stomper. The lyrics are a bit funny. Like, I'm sitting there listening to it and I'm laughing. But I'm actually still nodding my head and getting into it. And the vocal hooks, they'll grab you and pull you in. And I typed before I heard the solo as well, that, like, I don't know what the solo's going to be, but I can tell it's going to be good because the past few songs have nailed it, to be fair. And there is a little cheeky change midway. And I'm thinking about it as I'm talking about it. I've got a proper cheesy grin on my face. I've not disliked a song so far. And the lyrics do get a little bit repetitive, but we're in the 80s and that's kind of what happens.
Again, yeah, I think as cheesy as the lyrics are, you got to take into context that they were speaking their second language. What, you know, I've worked with a guy as well where English was his second language, and some of the stuff he used to come out with is like, no, mate, that's just not going to work.
Well,
that's not how we talk.
Yeah, I've done that too. I understand that because I worked for a few big banks and stuff and all that shit, and I worked with a few people who couldn't really talk English. And I'm going, hang on a minute, you just said something about someone's dick. And he's looking at me going, it happens. And they've done the best with what they've got.
And not only that, none of the cheesiness or the, you know, you kind of think, oh God, it's all unintentional, which makes it funny. Mm. But none of it takes away from how good the song is. Mm. It's just something else to enjoy. Like, you can have a little laugh at under the surface, but it is still a great song, and none of it's sort of spoiled the song, if you know what I mean.
1 second, I'm lighting my cigar.
Oh, sorry. So, yeah, there is that. Once you kind of get over it, or you have a little laugh the first time, the second, you know, as it, on subsequent listens, you kind of just let it go.
It's a grower, not a shower. That's what it is. It is.
Do you reckon that? I'm a grower, not a shower.
I reckon they could probably pull it off, to be fair. It's a grower, not a shower, this album. And I've listened to it a good few times.
Head Over Heels. I love that opening. Is it a riff? You got that done.
A cheeky little. It's a simple, cheeky bass riff, though.
You know, is that a riff or is it a melody? I can never. That opening little—it's a lead, isn't it?
It's a cheeky bass lead.
No, it's a guitar riff.
No, it's
a
bass. It's the bass.
Oh, is that bass?
And then the guitar comes in.
Yeah, well, when that guitar cuts in, kicking into that. This is Priest, right?
Yes,
this is Priest, pure through and through, 70s proof, and it's got that kind of dark alleyway, street vibe going on about it. I can imagine a pretty cool video for this, if they ever made one. It kicks into the chorus. You just can't help but sing along to it. And a ballad over hills, da-da-da-da, over hills. You could make that, it could be a pop song, you know? It could appeal to any style that you adapt it to, you know? And as it goes on as well, there's a blistering little solo, I think, as well in this, if I'm mistaken.
Mm.
No, it's not. It kind of just breaks into a melodic solo rather than a screechy one. But they kind of keep it simple on this track.
It works to the strength.
It's a really good song.
Which is good. And that's what I like about the band. And we did do this song before.
Did we? I do apologise.
Okay, Losing More Than You'll Ever Had. Nice little opening riff. And it's a longer song. And they've got this trashy kind of dual guitar shit going on. And then they'll catch it on the hook, whether it's the riff, whether it's the vocals. And it does remind me of the game Vice City, GTA Vice City. And you could hear this track just in that game because it's from the 80s. And then hear something by Duran Duran, like Rio or something. It's proper fun too. But like, I really like runny cheese heated correctly. And this is optimal temperature for that. And again, the solo's great. And I'm still enjoying myself more than halfway through now. So this is spot on. Great stuff.
This is... yeah, this is prime 80s.
Yeah.
Rock and metal, isn't it? And yeah, the chorus. Well, you say Miami Vice. Yeah, this is strip club metal.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the, you know, Girls, 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 Motley Crue, Poison by Alice Cooper. It's one of those, it's just one of those cool songs that you picture in one of the club scenes. I'll tell you where you see this. This is when the two cops go into a club scene, they're looking for someone and no one's cooperating.
And they've got to slap some bitches.
Someone locks the door and they've got to fight their way out, and then it kicks into like a fight
scene. And someone has a flick knife.
Yeah, someone has a flick knife. Yeah.
Like it's a comb and he's just got...
You better know how to use that.
Bitch, I'm going to kick your ass. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, it's totally all about the 80s, and there's nothing wrong with that because I'm enjoying it, to be fair. And it does have a Wasp feel. There's a bit of a Wasp feel going
on.
And I'm taking it. Takes us on to Love Child. The opening riff and like made me smile to fuck. And again, this is like old school Wasp until he found Jesus and acted a bit of a cunt. And that's not a bad thing. I'm really enjoying it. It's top solos full of cheddar. And it's going really well for me. A shorter song but a good one. Did remind me of AC/DC again. I'm going to repeat. They found the formula and they're sticking to it. And I admire that because there's lots of bands. AC/DC, when they were kind of unpopular in the early 90s and stuff, they still kept putting stuff out that was AC/DC. And now we respect that. And this is what's happening here. And Love Child, top track.
It's funny because... we were talking about the gay connotations and whatnot, and the unintentional gay connotation. But this song is actually about being gay. Have you read the lyrics to this? It's about struggling with your sexuality and, you know, coming to terms with yourself. It's a fucking really good like set of lyrics. And I want to go on a little rant now.
Go for it.
I've been reading a lot of patronising claptrap recently on certain metal sites where metal has to fucking come to the Guardian Easter's way of thinking. Metal was always accepting. Like when Rob Halford came out, it was never an issue.
No one gave a fuck.
Yeah.
No one cared.
And this came out in 1983. Well, 83, 84, depending when you come out. And there's a song here about coming to terms with your sexuality. So, fuck off, all of you. Maybe you should do some research and metal's already there. Maybe it's you that needs to catch up, arseholes.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's one of them, though, like, to reinforce your point. I've known gay people for fucking ever and, like, sound. Do what you want to do. I'm not gay. It's cool. Do what you want to do. What you want to do at home or whatever you want to do it is up to you.
Look, feeling the power of lust when a guy is passing by, wrecking one's brain and I'm going insane, I don't know why. Yeah, it's, don't know what I am, a woman or a man, many troubles behind me, I'm doing all I can, but I am what I am. And life ain't worth a damn.
The lyrics aren't going to win awards, let's just say that, but it works for what it is.
Yeah, and I'm just saying, you know, a young kid, you know, who is a bit of a misfit in the metal world, come on, like we're all misfits in the metal world, that's what's great about it.
Yes.
And, yeah, I've never heard of, you know, any homophobia in the metal scene. Never, not once.
No. Do what you got to do.
And yeah, so a young kid listening to this album and the record, I'm sure would have, you know, they would have been able to relate to it and find comfort in it.
Well,
know?
That's a good thing.
I just wanted to make that point. Yeah,
We're more accepting to people in the metal community than others. Which, when we get accused of being like homophobic or something else, it's like, fuck off. Have you ever actually been to a situation where that happened? Because
have you heard of Poison? Have you seen the front cover?
No. It's bizarre. But like, even in like gig or club places where shit like that happens, everyone stood round and fucking said, hang on, don't do that. And stood off at that shite, so I don't know where it's come from.
Well, it's not only that. Name me anywhere, right? Name me any culture where someone can fall over in the middle of a packed dance floor and everyone just, like, when even in a Slayer pit, like the most violent of pits, like I used to see Stamping Ground and Knuckle Dust back in the day. Didn't matter how crazy that pit got. Someone fell over, everyone stopped. Get up. You good? Cool. Right, kick shit out of each other again. But no one, like, name another somewhere else where you go where that would happen.
It wouldn't. They'd just...
No. We're already kind, compassionate people.
They'd just stomp on you and they wouldn't give a fuck. And that's just what it is.
Fall over like that at a Prodigy gig. See what happens.
Mm.
Yeah? Do that at a fucking Oasis gig or... Insert a name here. Fucking hell. I'd like to see that happen at Justin Bieber gig.
So, let's go on to the next song, Turn Me On, which is... They weren't gay before, but now they've gone full on, I'm just going to jizz on a dance floor. He's going to proper fuck it on the dance floor.
And he's going to explode. Yep.
And it's great head nodding shit. He's right to the point of jizzing on said person. And do you know what? I really... like the cheesy lyrics and the ballsy riffs, and that's what they've got because it's balls to the wall. But I could imagine playing this during some debauchery.
This sounds like if Prince wrote a heavy metal song.
It does, doesn't it? Or if you're in a car and you're like 17 and someone has got the license and you're just on the mooch. This is a cruising round looking for ladies kind of song, this one.
Yeah, I can imagine this being played at that club in Purple Rain.
Yeah, definitely.
But it's great. I'm not taking a piss either. It's a great song.
Yeah, it's a good song.
Catchy as hell.
Yeah, and they have really good hooks, which I was kind of surprised. I was just expecting Diabolics. But, like, yeah, I'm quite pleased with it. So, yeah, they've got kind of thrashy elements going on, which I'm pretty cool with because I like thrash.
I think Wolf Hoffman was definitely, I wouldn't go so far as to say, like, he was like a pioneer or like a, I don't think he contributed directly to all the thrash guitarists. I think liked him. I think Dave Mustaine and Gary Hall and all those the sort of Bay Area guitarists. I think a lot of them that had an Accept album at some point, because there's a lot of, he doesn't over egg the pudding like other guitarists does, but he is quite capable of being like a virtuoso, like a, he can break out the Satrianis when it suits, but he doesn't. Fucking dry. He doesn't over egg the pudding. He knows when to do it and when not to do it.
There's a little too much is too much.
Yeah, and Wolf Hoffman, I think he puts the song first. But he did do a solo album recently where he did basically just a lot of classical songs in the style of metal. Mm. And it was just him going do 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 do
do do do do do. He must have more money than Sense then, to be fair.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely a vanity project.
Oh, yeah. So, Guardian of the Night, like the name of the track in itself, you're just thinking, ooh, that sounds fucking... Ooh, that sounds metal. But does...
Have we done Losers and Winners
yet? No, we haven't. Or have we? Oh. Yeah. Go on.
No, because this has got the chorus that I was talking about earlier.
Because I don't know about you, Gully, but sometimes things get on my nerves and I have to get stuff off my chest. And I can't... I think the best way to go about it is to write a letter.
Yes.
And you'll feel better.
And I will always feel
don't
better.
Do you agree?
Well, yeah. For me, it's an email. I'm pretty fucking good at it.
Yeah. Well, write an email.
It doesn't...
This is the 80s.
It doesn't sound as menacing when you say it
when
that
they
way.
Do the, when they do the... When they do the show where they do the whole album in full, that they'll change the lyric. Write an email.
To the CEO. Yeah. That's going to work, isn't it? Yeah, it's a speed up. Want some metal? And yeah. I am really, really enjoying this album so far. And I feel like, I don't know. It's like a guilty pleasure. Like, I shouldn't tell anyone that I'm really enjoying it. And then, it is. It's one of them. Am I enjoying this? And I'm looking around.
I think they were one of those bands that were, yeah, I think it's become a bit more cool to say it as they've gone on.
But even now, but, I'm looking around going, I'm getting into it and fucking bobbing my head and shit. And I'm looking around in case anyone sees me and stuff. Yeah, man.
The thing is, when they say about cheesy lyrics, I mean, fucking hell, was Metal Gods not cheesy then? You know, like, one of the biggest criticisms of the Tim Owens era of Judas Priest was that those albums had corny lyrics. It's like, hello, I'm your turbo lover.
Oh, Manowar, which, let's be honest, they were kind of cheesy anyway, but Metal Warriors was another one. I fucking love that song.
Right, I've got to admit, I have never heard a Manowar album, ever.
Have you heard Metal Warriors?
I've heard Warriors of the Earth, is it?
Then you're not hearing the right song.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard anything by him.
Metal Warriors by Manowar is a tune, man. It's yeah, cheesy as fuck, but like it's like this, it's fist pumping shit.
I've heard their first run of albums are actually pretty good, and they went a bit... The corniness kind of came in later, is that
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they kind of got a bit cheesy because they found their niche.
Oh, right.
But Metal Warriors, top track. Top track.
Yeah, someone write in, if I'm going to get into Manowar, what's the best album to start with? I suppose Howl to England or something like that. I would have thought.
Except...
They all look like He-Man.
Well, did you see the recent news about them?
One of them
swerving a concert because they couldn't get something right in the sound check.
I've heard dodgier stuff than that. Hasn't one of them just been done for child porn?
That I can't comment on because I don't know.
He wasn't an original member, so they kind of fucked him off and got a new guy in pretty quick, I think, but... Yeah,
it could be worse. But like Manowar, Metal Warriors is a good track. Let's move on from that. Guardian of the Light, mellow lute type intro, Brave Sir Robin. I am having a midlife crisis with this album, Joe. I am. I want a leather jacket. I want a biker jacket like I used to have. And
I was looking at a leather jacket in the shop the other day.
This is midlife crisis, man.
Yeah.
This is what you want to do. Like, oh, could I still rock a biker jacket? Will it still look cool? Will I still...
Fucking right, I can.
I was like, will it still look relevant? And in your head, the answer is yes. But in reality, it's like, fuck, man. We're just quite old. I love...
The idea is to...
It's trying to blend in, but actually, it's sore thumbness, isn't it? You're just kind of sticking out. Nothing wrong with this track. I could happily listen to this album just driving somewhere and just non-stop all the way through. And the bass is very well respected in the remix as well. So, yeah. I just wonder what the original sounded like because I never went to the original source to listen to because Spotify said no and it's really hard to find the original unless you want to pay some cunt lots of money.
Is it? Well, when's your the CD you've got? What's that? Is that an old CD or is it like
a
remaster?
It's a remaster. That was the last remaster that they polished it. And you can tell by the sound of it because it's opened up and the base is fucking very well respected. But I'm still on in, and it's fist shaking cheese, and it's spot on.
This has got a great chorus, this song.
Yes, and there's so many catchy little fucking hooks on it, which I really like. And I keep thinking about 80s films from this. Lost Boys. The Lost Boys. The Lost Boys. Imagine this on The Lost Boys, man. That is...
Lost Boys or Demons. Did you ever see Demons?
Yes.
Have you seen that?
It had the eyes on the video box and...
When they're in the cinema and what's on in the cinema possesses all the audience. Demons 2 had a really good soundtrack, 80s soundtrack.
Well, I said in the some of the shows going back, I can't remember when, but like I had a hookup in the local video store, Video City, who would give me 18 films because I'd give him a quid. And so that's how I got to watch like loads of cool films like RoboCop and fucking... any decent horror you could see at that time as well in the late 80s. So it just reminds me of it. This is just encapsulation of that period, but it sounds fucking good now, which it's a little bit hit and miss when you think about it. Some of the 80s music, well, like, oh, fucking hell. But this is classic 80s music and it still sounds good now for me. And yeah, top stuff.
I love me some 80s. I like 80s pop music.
Go on.
Know,
what pop music do you like? Whilst I really like my cigar.
What from the 80s? Yeah. Man, I fucking like Madonna. I don't care. If it's from the 80s, I like it. It's even if it's shit, I like it. Well, Living in a Box can fuck off, but funnily enough, a lot of people don't know this now. A lot of people don't know this. But
I am a nosy neighbour.
I own everything by Depeche Mode. I've got their entire back catalogue. I fucking love
that. I grew up listening to MC Hammer and film scores. And I had the now greatest hits movies. And
I think we all had the now.
Yeah, but like it had to... It had Aha doing the James Bond theme on, and
Who doesn't love Take On Me? Come on.
View to a Kill was good by Duran Duran as well, because that was on it too. I was just like,
I think we all got for our birthday at some point the double cassette of the latest Now album.
Yeah, and like I had one which was a yellow tape one. It was like yellow and it was like on a case on the front cover. I played that shit to death. And like most of it was just bollocks, to be completely honest. Yeah. But I loved
it. I'll tell you what the first CD I bought with my pocket money, and I've still got it today, is actually the Lost Boys soundtrack.
Ooh. We should probably try and organise a film review.
We should review that. We should review the Lost Boys soundtrack. That'd be cool.
It'd be hard. It'd be hard to watch it and not have that.
I can still watch Lost Boys today. I love that film.
I don't know. Some parts are good. I've gone back and watched it recently because I'm old and I need to reminisce when I was not so fat. Yeah. But it's hard. It's hard to go back and put that sheen you've got from your memories, because that's, as human beings, we tend to put a sheen on things that are cool and we tend to project it bigger than what it actually is. And it's hard because I've gone back and watched films I've watched in the past and I've gone, ugh. RoboCop is the exception though. RoboCop, even though it looks like shite, some of the special effects, man, that fucking film was brutal. But like,
yeah, but the new one looks just as bad.
Yeah, well, I watched the new one and there was nothing else to watch. And I'm like, yeah, okay, that's cool. And they're just killing people for the sake of it. But like,
yeah,
that was a thing back when RoboCop came out, that people dying was a thing. Now, no one gives a fuck. Like, 90 people could die in the first 10 seconds and no one would give a shit. So there's not that much of an impact with the new one that there was with the original, which looks cheesy when Ed 209 tries and walk.
Well, there's no violence or blood in films now because they're all curious of getting an 18 rating. And not only that, they're taking in mind when this film goes over to China. Because if there's any blood in it, it won't be showed. So they
they're either editing out the blood or just not putting any blood in it at all, so then it gets shown in China.
Hmm. It's a bit weird. So what's your take on losers and winners?
I thought we were doing Guardian of the Night.
Okay, we're on the last one.
Well, both songs are great. I love Losers and Winners. It's a bit
fast-paced. It's got a bit of a Motorhead feel, actually, during that in that riffing. Great, brilliant chorus. I just can't help but laugh, but sing along. Write a letter! But Losers and Winners!
There's hooks.
It's just brilliant. It's just,
there's lots of hooks.
It's just, it's head-banging, glorious heavy metal. It's fantastic. And Guardian of the Night has got, it's just got that stomping, you said it was like a, out of an 80s horror. Dun, 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 you know? And it, man of the night! The Guardian of the Night!
It's proper cheese, it's, I love it. It takes us on to...
And it's just got this brilliant singing voice. It's just got that ultimate mix of a scream, but keeping it like a, he's got like a melodic scream.
Yes.
He's got the pitch of Rob Halford, but the scratchiness of Brian Johnson. And I really think Udo's an underrated singer.
No, this is a testament to how good he actually fucking is, man. This is some good fucking vocals. Okay, he's kind of playing really tiny places.
He looks a bit weird.
Yeah, but look at Radiohead singer. Awesome. Can't sing like a motherfucker. It looks like a fucking child molester. That's he's just one of them, isn't he? The face sometimes doesn't fit. Face of radio, I know about that. But like, yeah, it's proper spot on. Take us on to Winter Dreams. Bass, we're not going to do the live tracks because it's fucking live tracks.
Nah, fuck that.
Bollocks.
Yeah.
Bass to start again. This is very cowboyish. It's yeehaw. The quality of the remaster is spot on when you listen to it. The one that I sent you as well. It sounds great when you think of where it was from. So they must have spent money on the production originally to kind of get that where it was now. But like, yeah, I do listen to a lot of classic rock because if I'm doing stuff, I'll have it on in the background and I'll listen to it, or I'll get the Mrs. the Pop Planet Rock on or whatever in the UK, and they'll have lots of classic rock on, and this one just nails it. And I'm kind of disappointed in myself that I didn't find them sooner, because they're actually pretty fucking good. I don't have a filler song going on with it. I don't have a song where I'm like, oh man, skippy, skippy, skippy. And it's good. Good solos, catchy hooks, and it's a good way to finish.
Yeah, I quite like every track's a rocker, and the way they didn't just close it with a nice soft song just gives it a nice little, it kind of gives you a soft landing. Mm. And it's quite a nice song. It does have a wintry, cold breeze to it. You can kind of picture some like snowy landscape during this song. And it's just as cheesy and fucking waft as the rest of the album, but it still has that charm that the rest of the album has as well.
I know there's some underlying charm that you'll let them get away from it because
I just like it. Yeah, it's
and
one thing about, and this is actually Germans in general, they're not burdened by coal.
No,
like they're again the little things that we've been pointing out, the corny little bit here or the unintentional lyric that sounds like it shouldn't. But they don't care. They're unburdened by coal. They've got that self awareness that people on sort of this side of Europe, or British, let's face it, are crippled by. Yep. And they've not got that. And that's, they're fucking all the better for it, you know? And yeah, you normally find that as well. Look, German people have just got that thing where they just don't give a fuck. Mm. And I do really like it. They, you know the term, dance like no one's looking? Like, yeah, they don't wait for the dance floor to be packed before they get up. They're the first to get up and dance.
Oh, yeah, they're a fucking handful when they're drunk as well.
Yeah, and aren't we all, darling?
Well, I can be.
Yeah, they're fun drunks, though. They
they drink heavy, but they know how to put it away. Bless them. I love German people. I'm not. You know, I'm paying a compliment here, as weird as that sounds, but because it doesn't sound like I'm paying a compliment.
Not quite.
I am. It's a compliment that you're not burdened by a cop.
Yeah.
And you don't have the self-awareness that we have. But they pull off the album because of it. With their not giving a fuck.
Yes. Yeah, I'd have to agree with that. Like, it's... Okay, yeah. They've kind of stood there and gone, okay, this is what we're putting out, so fuck off. Like it, don't like it, bollocks. And it's time to get to the out of 10 shit. Yeah, this is the review that kind of marks my midlife crisis in podcast form, and I'm giving it a 9.
Yeah, all right. I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
It's a great little album, and it's made me want to dive into their catalogue and properly inspect it more. I felt a bit guilty, actually, listening during this week, because I should know this band.
I know.
More.
I thought, what the fuck, man? I was into Crew and fucking all the cheese before I got into full-on fucking heavy metal and death metal, etc. And these kinds of passed me by, and I'm a little bit like, what the fuck?
I mean, I'll say this to you, Gully, but also to the listeners. If you do want to get into Accept, and if this, you know, one thing about our show, we want you, you know, re-examine an old album, but also I'd like to think you discover an album for us now and then as well. And if this is sort of your gateway to Accept, check out a video on YouTube by a guy called The Rageaholic. And he does political stuff. He does a gaming thing. He does streams. He covers everything. But he's also got a series called Metal Mythos, where he goes through a band's back catalogue, album by album. And he's done one for Accept, and that's really good. I mean, I don't always agree with him. I mean, I don't agree with some of the stuff he says on Iron Maiden. But then again, no two Iron Maiden fans fully agree.
Yeah,
but
they're like Marmite.
But he does a really good. Yeah, but he does a really good guide to Accept, and by the sounds of it, they do get a lot more metal as the catalogue goes on.
Yeah, we were kind of lost with this one as well, to be fair.
Yeah, it took a couple of albums to find their feet, but this was the... I think the album before this is where they really kind of found their direction, and then they perfected it with this album.
Well, on the basis of this one, I'm happy to go and explore even further, to be fair. And I have always been the cheesier one of us two on the show. And this ticks all the boxes for me. And I enjoyed it. And it wasn't like forced enjoyment. It was just like, okay, this is shit at times. But my God, I'm still fucking enjoying it. And I'm laughing at the lyrics. And whether they meant it tongue in cheek, probably not during the time. But now it's just... Yeah, it's part of the charm. It's like old Uncle Knobhead who just talks absolute shite, but like you just find him amusing when you've had a drink. That's what this is. This is midlife crisis in music form for me. It's just like, yeah, okay, I'm dealing with it, and this is how it went. And I'm giving it a 9 because I'm right there, midlife crisis, man. It was really enjoyable. So, Joe, what have you got to plug? Nothing really.
I've plugged everything.
We'll plug it again.
Check out Metal Legion magazine. Go to Repulsive Echo and buy yourself a reissue of Malevolent Creation, The Will to Kill, and Molten Skulled Surface. Currently working on the new Metal Legion issue, but I'll let you all know when that's out. That won't be out for a while yet, though. That's about it.
So, if you have anything you'd like us to review, because we're trying to throw curveballs out, because we don't want to do the same shit as everyone else, because we're not like everybody else. At Rock Show Online on Twitter, facebook.com/TheMetalShow, I believe we've changed it now. And if you like it, share the fucking show, because you know what? So many cunts have been listening recently, and you are lovely, lovely cunts, and we're glad that more people are listening, but... do us a favour, just share it, because we do this shit for free, and we do it because we enjoy it, and if you're enjoying our shit, share it, and that's enough of that.
Yeah, we're not ramming a Patreon down your throat, we're not shoving a load of adverts
in
your ear.
No, we're not
All we ask is if you like it.
Yeah,
share
we're not
it,
trying to sell you dildos or fucking whiskey. All we ask is that you share it. Thanks very much for listening, and we're gone. See you later.